lights, action, camera, and let's enjoy a little laughs and smiles as we welcome Gilly Apter. Gilly, of course, is a renowned comedian. I once had the privilege of chatting to her in studio, but now she decided not to join us in studio. Gilly. Why? Gilly, welcome to the show. Great to be chatting to you once again.
I was actually encouraged to come. You know, somebody should have said, hey, can you come through? But they made it easy for me.
Okay.
And so here I am on my couch talking to you.
Oh, right. So don't rub it in.
I don't even have a good reason. I'm not even on the road somewhere.
And you're just rubbing it in. Gilly, it's so great have you on board once again. And thanks for taking the time to join us. Gilly, of course, you've been making South Africans laugh for years and also audiences abroad. But there's an article I'd like to chat to you about. But before we dive in, how would you describe your season of comedy you're in right now? Since we last chatted, I guess, how have things gone?
Well, it's going very well, I would say. I do shows all over the world. I'm very lucky to do that at the moment.
Sure.
And I had a goal for myself a few years ago, which was to become an internationally touring comic.
Mm-hmm.
And I've achieved that goal, which is pretty amazing because, I, a few years ago, it seemed quite impossible.
Right.
And now I'm looking for the next goal.
Okay. And what is the next goal? What do you have in mind? Sorry, am I putting you on the spot there?
Not at all. I don't mind. My next goal is to get a bit of a bigger following. You know, one of the reasons I've been able to tour internationally is because of the way that I market my shows, and not necessarily because I'm a household name.
Sure.
So what I would like to do is grow my following to the point where people, because they know me, you know,
right,
and they know what to expect, as opposed to they're coming to find out who I am.
Indeed.
Know? So that's my goal. My goal is to get more people to come to shows and to be able to do shows in better rooms, better conditions, bigger theaters. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So in order to get, you know, more people to attend and attract a larger audience, up until now, your overseas exploits, where have you gone? Just to recap, I recall we did discuss this last time, but just to recap, where were you then and where would you like to go to now?
I don't remember where I was then, but
I think the United Kingdom, and I think you also did a few gigs in Europe and perhaps maybe North America, if I'm not mistaken.
So I in the last 2 years I've had my focus on Europe, so I've been using London kind of as a base and traveling from there to every European city that you can think of, Switzerland, you know,
sure,
Zurich, Geneva, Amsterdam, more recently Greece, Cyprus, Austria, and in each city, in each country, many, many cities. And this year I got to go to Australia, which was wonderful, Perth, Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne. So everywhere, really.
Okay. All right. Gilly, okay, I mentioned earlier when I introduced you to the show that our conversation was going to be based on this article, which appears in the BBC, Comedy and Prescription, Why Performing Stand-Up is Good for Your Health. It's a very lengthy read, but indeed it does contain exactly what we want to interrogate you about on today's show. So, okay, in the article, you know, it touches on the idea that comedy isn't just about jokes, it's about observation. So let's reflect on your encounters, your experience. So what was the moment that you realized that being funny meant paying close attention to people, not just punchlines?
You know, the punchlines come from paying close attention to people. I always say that.
Mm.
There are many, many funny people, but being funny doesn't mean you're a comedian. What makes you a comedian is the same way we all are able to have funny thoughts. You know, you will see something in your day and you'll laugh about it in your head, right?
Right.
The comedian will take that and just dig in and dig in further and further and further until they come to the conclusion.
Right.
Of the thought about, you know, the funny thing that they saw in their day. We don't move on. You see a funny thing, you think it's funny, and then you move on. We don't move on. We stay and we dig.
Okay, on that basis, funny now, I'm keen to know this. When we look at South African comedy, you know, well, you could say it walks this thin line between pain and humor. So how do you personally decide when something is, if you could put it this way, ready to be, well, joked about?
Well, I think it depends firstly on you and how brave you are and how smart you are, you know, and I think both those things work together. If you're talking about a difficult subject, you have to you have to sort of train yourself. Firstly, as a comedian, you have to, if you want to talk about important things, you do have to train yourself to do that. You can't just wake up brave one morning. You have to start small and fail, and then try again and fail. And that's part of like your training as a comedian. You go to clubs and you fail in small rooms so that you actually learn how to do that. You learn how to address topics. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And the better you get at figuring out when is the correct time to do or not do something.
Indeed. Gilly, something that I picked up in that article, it touched on to the healing qualities and the positives coming out from comedy. Now, you recall now what we discussed earlier on, how you are looking for new markets and you looking for new opportunities to, expand your brand and, further yourself in this field. Have you looked into, I don't know, let's say you'd call it institutions or areas where you can impart your comedy on those needing healing and at the same time making your brand aware out there?
I think, I was interested in the article because it spoke about not just the power of comedy to heal people who come to a comedy show, but specifically about doing comedy yourself to heal yourself. And I think that maybe as a hobby or as a character building or courage building exercise, it's very powerful. And there are people who are equipped to do that and people who have a passion to help people overcome their own challenges. And I don't think I'm that interested in that.
Okay.
You know, I am more purely interested in entertaining people. I think that's what I'm good at and that's what I'm supposed to do.
Okay.
So it's not something I've considered, but I also have respect for the people who do that kind of work because it's valuable.
Indeed. Okay, well, let's focus on...
And I will say one more thing about that actually I read the article and it was all about, you know, the power of comedy for healing. But I think if you don't have a good sense of self, comedy will also also break you down in a way that might not be easy to recover from.
Well, indeed, I guess, you are of that specific comic type. But as you've outlined, yes, it hasn't been, it's not your forte. So, yeah. All right. So each to their own.
Yeah.
But let's now touch on to what you've just mentioned about you finding your strength with audiences and performing before people itself. Speaking about audiences, what have you noticed about today's audiences compared to when you first started performing? Are they more sensitive, more honest, or just louder? Or do they project some other, shall we say, manner or some other reaction?
You know, it's hard for me to say. I haven't been doing comedy for like 20, 30 years. You know, maybe, you know, if you ask somebody who's more experienced, they would tell you a better, bigger picture of how things have shifted over time. I've been doing comedy for exactly 10 years now. And in that time, I can tell you that even in the early years of my career, I remember people talking about how audiences have changed. And then after COVID, I remember people saying audiences have changed. And even now, I know people are saying audiences have changed. But I think there's two things. Firstly, I think it would be crazy for audiences not to change. Comedy is culture. And if culture is going to change, of course the audience is going to change and you're going to change. We don't do the same jokes that Jackie Mason was doing up in the Catskills of New York. You know what I mean? People would think that that was weird if I came out and did that kind of comedy. So of course it's going to change.
Indeed.
And I think when people say that, it's more of a complaint about what they feel like they can and can't say. And I think there might have been an inflection point a few years ago where, you know, if you said the wrong thing in front of the wrong group and it was exploited online, then, you know, you could have gotten canceled or whatever. But I think that's calmed down to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that we are living in this time where audiences are so segmented that you can go out and get the audience that likes what you do. And so I can tell you in my experience of doing like performing to thousands of people all over the world, I get very little like pushback. If you even think about the fact that I'm a Jewish comedian who talks openly about being Jewish, about being Israeli, you know, I was petrified that I would, you know, have some kind of negative response. And honestly, performing to thousands of people over the last 2 years, I can count on one hand how many times that's happened.
Gilly, it's interesting what you've just mentioned. I'm getting a question here from one of our listeners. Perhaps they've just come in late, but yes, I think you have alluded to this already, but perhaps if we can just elaborate slightly on this question.
Yes.
The question is, do you think a comedian has a responsibility, or is responsibility the fastest way to kill a joke?
That's a great question.
It is.
I think that comedy is a extension of who you are, right? And comedy is an art form, and the art form is the thing you have to serve. You have to serve yourself doing the art form. And if you are a responsible person, maybe your comedy will be responsible. And if you're an irresponsible person, maybe your comedy will be irresponsible. I don't actually think you owe anybody anything as an artist. I don't. And I think, you know, it depends who you are. Like, you know, I'm not a children's entertainer. I would have a responsibility if I was, you know, shaping young minds.
Right.
But I don't. It's a good question, I guess. You know, how far does that go? I don't know. I see myself as a fairly responsible person, so it's hard to answer. But there have been artists in the world that have been wildly irresponsible and even criminal.
Indeed.
You know? I don't know that they owe us their responsibility, you know?
Now, interesting, here's another question coming through, if we can extend on what you've just outlined. The question is, South Africa, well, it's outlining first. South Africa has a very specific sense of humor. The question is, what makes South African comedy work when it's done well, and why does it fall flat when it isn't, when it doesn't?
I've recently discovered that if you want to be a very successful comedian, you have to do a comedy in a very strong accent.
Okay, right.
I don't think we have a very highly developed sense of comedy in South Africa. I think we still, the majority of us laugh at basic things. But I will say that in every country in the world, the thing that that local people love the most is talking about local people and local culture.
Right.
And I can tell you, we don't have a lot of experience as an audience going nation. So I don't know that we've necessarily like found our feet or landed on something. Like, people have got a very strong sense of like British sense of humor, for example, or British comedy. I don't know that we necessarily have that pinned down in South Africa. You know, I don't think we have a strong enough of a culture yet to figure out what that is. But I will say that in all of my shows in the last year, my favorite ones have been in front of South African audiences, because they are fun, open, accepting.
Sure.
that's just been, I guess, my experience.
It's been great having all these questions coming in. I just want to recap on the studio number, 0618951019. Joining me on the line, Gilly Apter, renowned comedian, outlining to us all the pros and cons about being a comedian on stage. Here's another one. Here's another question coming through. Gilly, for aspiring comedians listening right now, what's the one mistake you see people making when they're trying too hard to be funny?
I don't know that it's a mistake to try too hard. The one mistake... Yeah, because the person's question already has what they think is a mistake in it, but it's not really asking me what I think is a mistake.
Sure, of course.
I think, you know, a lot of people used to ask me, Gilly, how do I start comedy? I want to start comedy. And I would ask a simple question, which is, do you go to local comedy shows? And 9 times out of 10, the person would say no.
Okay.
And so my first thing would be like, go see local comedy. And I don't mean go see Trevor Noah once in the 3 years that he comes here. I mean, go to clubs, go to open mic nights, go see what people are doing
Indeed.
And saying. Immerse yourself in that world.
Expose yourself
out
what's to
going
what it is
on
that's
there.
Interesting you. Okay, well, there you
go. And
have
listen,
it.
Sometimes sometimes somebody trying too hard means like, okay, you don't like their style, you know? There are a lot of comedians who make a living and they're not that great.
Okay, the story of the entertainment world, I guess. But yeah, c'est la vie, that's what we've got to enjoy.
Something for everyone.
Right. Finally, okay, now I'd like to ask you something, Gilly. When you walk off stage after a great performance, what tells you, yes, that was good comedy, the laughter, the silence, or the conversations that follow? How do you feel? What gives you that sense of confirmation about what you delivered on stage?
Well, I mean, what you want is people laughing most of the time.
Of course.
You know, in a 90-minute show, there are going to be moments that are successful and moments that are not successful. And the thing you learn to do is get a read on the majority of how the show went.
Right.
And if it went well for the most part. And sometimes it's not an easy assessment. Sometimes it's like, oh, that was a great show. People laughed at the jokes, but it didn't take off. You know, it sort of plateaued, or I got tired near the end and the audience got tired near the end. Or a lot of things can happen in the course of 90 minutes.
Indeed.
And I guess for me, a good show is if the tension was held and people stayed and were paying attention and were with me on that journey for most of the time, and I didn't lose them, you know, for any long stretch of time.
Indeed. Well, the 2025 year show is about to end as we find ourselves in December, Gilly. At the stage, okay, we did speak earlier on about what your ambitions are, but can we look forward to a Gilly Apter show soon? Any plans?
I've just completed a show at Theatre on the Square 2 weeks ago, so not in Joburg at this point. In Cape Town, I am actually doing a fundraiser that you should know about on the 22nd of January.
Yes.
And I want to tell you about this, and I've just remembered it. So
please do.
Yeah,
please
okay.
do. That's
so
what we're looking
it's
for.
It's on the 22nd of January, and it's by Live Inspired, and it is... I think the point of the organization is to it's a lot, it's mainly for Jewish women, and so I'm it's not, and the show is not just for Jewish women, but that's the focus of the of what we're doing to raise funds. So Jewish moms especially, so come to the show in Cape Town on the 22nd of January. I'm trying to see if it actually has a name, but it doesn't. It just says live
That's
in Cape Town
okay.
for one night
That's
only.
Okay. I tell
you
what.
You can reach out to me if you want to know
about
it. Right.
I tell you what. Let my producer get hold of you, and you can confirm all those details, and I'll put it out to everybody as we ride along on the home run. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
Fantastic.
I think if you just type in Gilly Apter stand up comedy show on Quicket, you'll find it.
Okay. All right. Gilly Apter on quicketshow.com. All right, then.
But follow me on Instagram, and then you'll see my shows. I will definitely be doing a show in sometime in the winter time in Joburg and in Cape Town, as well as in the first week of December at Theatre on the Square next year. So, and if you've got friends, if you came to the show in Theatre on the Square and you've got friends all over Europe, let them know that I'm doing shows all over Europe and in London.
Most certainly do. Gilly, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us on the home run.
Thank you for having me.
Blessed festive season and a blessed Hanukkah. If we're going to chag sameach, Hanukkah
you
to you. And everything, all the best
Thank
in all your
much.
Endeavors. Gilly Apter, comedian, joining us on the home run. It was really great chatting to Gilly again. Enjoy the chats that we have with her and where comedy's going, what she encounters, what her endeavors are. And of course, yes, what it takes to be a comedian.